Hi, this is Dawn Shireen, and this is my podcast, Dancing with Bipolar. So it's a Monday morning, and I'm no longer doing the grief group thing, like officially, like, you know, call it. And I think that's okay. I think I'm good with that. You know, it's like it was almost causing me more pain to go there than to not go there. And I also know that it's still an option that I can go back if I want to. And, you know, grief is going to be an ongoing part of my life. Let's be real. It's an ongoing part of everybody's life. And we lose things and people and opportunities and stuff happens and expectations. And, you know, I mean, in this case, it has to do mostly with Christopher and Doc and the thing that happened at Overguard. But, you know, I mean, I did kind of resolve or conclude a lot of other losses in my life that came upon it. So, you know, that's just kind of like where I'm at. So it's a Monday morning. It's windy. It's crazy out. It's allergy season. I have a home improvement project that I dogged all weekend. And today seems like a really good day to do it because going outside with allergies, yeah. And beside the fact that the dog and I probably did, I don't know, close to 10 miles yesterday trying to run a very simple errand, which turned into, either way, it got done. So I could concentrate on this project today, not realizing that it was going to be, you know, wind fest allergy party outside. So either way, it's all good. So what's really going on? So we talked about this listenable course, and it's been an ongoing saga since, what, January? Something like that. February? I don't know. Anyway, I got the final nicks on it today, audio problems, and my friend who is going to help me with it, I'm not sure what happened, and I'm not prying. So let me just talk about this for a minute, because you guys are going to be the beneficiary of it anyway, but this offer came to me through my spam file, and yeah, I forgot to turn off notifications too. See, it's good morning. Anyway, so it came through my spam file and I caught it, and in a way I kind of wish I hadn't caught it because it's been nothing but a nightmare kind of in a way since it appeared, you know, as an opportunity for me, and I'm still not really sure that it's not spam. Right? So I put all this work into it, and I did all of it, and I recorded it, and I recorded it, and I recorded it again, and I recorded it again, and it's always just continually been bad audio. I got a mic, which I thought improved the audio greatly, and, you know, and then my friend kind of let the ball drop on that, and you know what? I'm kind of okay with that, because the whole thing about me helping people was not to get paid to write a course or to be, I don't know, some kind of guru or something like that. It's never been my position to sell out my experience. And maybe that's what this is all about. I'm not sure. Am I a little disappointed? Sure, it always hurts to be rejected. But in the long run, it's all good because you guys get the benefit of it, and I can do whatever I want with it now, and I could put it on the website, which I probably will do, and I could do a whole dealio with my own Thriving with Bipolar thing now, and it doesn't belong to anybody, and I own it. So in that case, I'm happy with that. I'm fine, you know, and I'm still not sure that this is legit. I should have turned off notifications. Just because you have a website doesn't mean anything, actually. So either way, you guys are going to get the benefits of Thriving with Bipolar. So the next four episodes, or I'm going to actually tag one of them on this one, and then the next three will be the class. I'll try to do minutes and all that happy shit so you know where to look for each course. But my perceived loss is actually everybody else's gain, because now you don't have to pay for the information, which is readily available out there, and you know, it is what it is. I'm neither happy nor sad about this. I'm grateful that you guys get the benefit of it. So away we go. Thriving with Bipolar, lessons 1-5.
Hi, this is Dawn Shireen. Welcome to my course, Thriving with Bipolar on Listenable. Listenable course, Thriving with Bipolar. Lesson 1. What is bipolar? Bipolar is a combination of genetics, environment, altered brain structure, and altered brain chemistry. You need a medical diagnosis in order to be told that you have bipolar. There is no self or otherwise diagnosis which is acceptable. Bipolar 2 is not a lesser degree of bipolar 1. They are two distinctly separate diagnoses. Bipolar is subsyndromal to extremely severe, which basically means that it can be almost dormant and land you into hospitalization. There are an estimated 4 to 6 million people worldwide that are diagnosed with bipolar disorder. So if you've just recently been diagnosed or know someone with bipolar, you're in good company. Treatment can and will help you if you follow it. You must follow your medication schedules and your therapies and doctor's appointments and any blood work or labs that are ordered for you. Bipolar is a chronic disorder. It can last for a few years or remain with you for your life. Bipolar is not curable. Bipolar is also not fatal if you are compliant with treatment. Bipolar disorder, bipolar affective disorder, manic depression is a mood disorder. Now, a mood disorder means that your general state or mood is distorted or inconsistent with your circumstances and or interferes with your way of life and leaves you unable to function in a normal way. So then I went and looked it up in the Urban Dictionary because that sounded just so medical and horrible. And even in the Urban Dictionary, a mood disorder, a mood or affective disorder is a major type of mental illness in which emotions are significantly disturbed. So even in the Urban Dictionary, they're trying to tell you it's nothing to really play around with. Now, the Urban Dictionary definition of bipolar, again, makes it sound really serious. And it is really serious, but you can also live and thrive with bipolar disorder. Anyway, their definition of it is a severe debilitating psychiatric illness characterized by elevated mood and energy, mania, hypomania, or depression. Bipolar, a mood disorder characterized by extreme highs and lows. And I'll be covering both mania and depression further in lesson 2 with what is mania and lesson 3, what is depression. So for now, let's just take these definitions as a basic guideline to understand some of the most common bipolar diagnoses. Bipolar 1. Have had at least one episode of mania that lasted longer than a week. Bipolar 2. At least one period of major depression or one period of hypomania. Now, the significant difference between bipolar 1 and 2 is the mania, and I will be getting further into mania in lesson 2. So bipolar 1 is experiencing depression with hypomania, not inflomania. No. I have that backwards. Bipolar 1 is little to no depression with mostly straight mania. Bipolar 2 is hypomania with depression being much more prevalent. Okay, now we have bipolar with mixed features, which is experiencing depression or mania or hypomania at the same time. This is not fun. This is when you're laughing and crying at the same time. You're up, you're down, you're everywhere. And this one will land you in the hospital in order to become stabilized. Go with it. You will be grateful that you went and got stabilized. Bipolar with rapid cycling. 4 or more depressive or manic or hypomanic episodes in a 12-month or a year period of time. Again, this is another one that is no fun. You want to try to avoid this to the best of your possibility. But if you can't, again, you know, go to the hospital and don't be shy. Go to the hospital and get stabilized. Especially like, you know, bipolar with rapid cycling, before you get diagnosed and you actually have like an idea as to what's going on with you, it can be really disturbing to have that happen to you because you think you're going crazy. But you're rapid cycling and you cannot get yourself back into a cycle by yourself. So definitely, you know, go to the hospital and get stabilized. It's not the worst thing that you can possibly have happen to you. Bipolar with seasonal pattern is an amped up version of SAD, seasonal affective disorder. It's just that your bipolar symptoms are triggered with the season, whatever it is, you know, your personal body response to whatever season it is that triggers you. And then we have cyclothymia. And cyclothymia, the way I like to describe it, is like baby bipolar. It's a lower grade bipolar with milder symptoms than bipolar. But it often will move into a bipolar diagnosis. So in cyclothymia, you have experienced depression and hypomania for at least 2 years. So you're now being observed, you know, over a 2 year period of time. You and your doctor are keeping a mood journal, or you're just being like much more mindful of your moods. So coming into a cyclothymia diagnosis, out of cyclothymia into a bipolar 1 or bipolar 2 diagnosis is happens often. And, you know, you're becoming more mindful of your own moods and stuff. So you're more upfront with your doctor. Okay. And then let's not forget, you know, we have postpartum depression, which is a chemical imbalance after you have a baby and your body and your mind are not clicking in a really good way together. And then there's a couple other, you know, bipolar with psychoaffective and things like that. But for now, that's a basic rundown of the most common diagnosed forms of bipolar disorder. So this concludes lesson one, What is Bipolar? From Thriving with Bipolar on Listenable. Lesson 1A of What is Bipolar? On Thriving with Bipolar. Okay, here are some words that you're going to hear often throughout this course. So let's just get them into the understanding now. Okay, we have psychosis. Psychosis is a severe mental disorder in which thought and emotions are so impaired that contact is lost with external reality. Okay. Hallucination, an experience involving the apparent perception of something not present. Delusion, a peculiar and or false belief or thought that is firmly maintained despite being contradicted by what is generally accepted as reality or a rational argument. Circadian rhythm, a natural internal process that regulates the sleep-wake cycle and repeats on each rotation of the earth, so basically every 24 hours. Stigma, social stigma is a disapproval or discrimination against a person based on perceived social characteristics that serve to distinguish them from other members of society. Stigma is also a mark of shame or of discredit. And then we have mindfulness, which is being aware of your body, mind, spirit at the present moment. Okay, so those are some words that as I was writing the course I came up with and came back to add this on, so I'm not just dropping words that y'all don't know. So again, that is the conclusion of Lesson 1A, What is Bipolar? On Thriving with Bipolar on Listenable. Lesson 2, What is Mania? Hypomania. Mania is a state of psychological and or physiological hyperactivity. It is often characterized by the following symptoms: abnormally upbeat, jumpy, or wired, increased activity, energy, or agitation, exaggerated sense of well-being, exaggerated sense of self-confidence, decreased need for sleep, unusual talkativeness, racing thoughts, distracted thoughts, distractibility, and euphoria. Mania and hypomania, which is a lesser form of mania, which we'll get into in just a second, can and will affect sleep, energy, and your activity level in both bipolar 1 and bipolar 2. Now, the difference here is with hypomania and bipolar 2, you don't go into full-blown mania and, well, okay, your hypomania can go into mania, but it will most likely switch into depression. Okay, but within mania, after the sleep, the energy, and the activity being affected, your judgment, behavior, and the ability to think clearly are also challenged. Within this comes impulsivity and overspending, which is danger zone and very negative to many of you within gambling and hypersexuality and things like that. So mania is as dangerous as depression. There are three stages to mania. There's hypomania, acute mania, and delirious mania. Now, hypomania is a condition similar to mania but less severe. It resembles mania in symptoms. However, it does not cause significant distress or impair one's work, family, or social life. The main difference between hypomania and mania is that you are not out of control at this point. Acute mania, a trait of bipolar 1, this is characterized by an extremely unstable, euphoric, or irritable mood with hyperactivity, excessively rapid thoughts and speech, uninhibited and reckless behavior, and flight of ideas. Okay, now within this comes the term grandiosity, which some of you probably have experienced. Seems fun at the time until you become stabilized and come back into reality. And some of what you do during your times of grandiosity can be a tiny bit mortifying. Grandiosity is the quality of being more complicated or elaborate than necessary. It is a mood congruent delusion. Reactions or emotional state are in conflict with reality. I had a moment of grandiosity for a period of time where I thought I was the queen of the cat federation. Need more be said? And now we have delirious mania, which is probably where I went into with several incidents that have happened with me, which is also known as Bell's mania. And it's excitement, grandiosity, emotional ability, psychosis, and insomnia, altered consciousness, and disorientation. Now, the meaning of the word delirium is an acutely disturbed state of mind characterized by restlessness, illusions, and incoherence of thought and speech. So you're basically out of your mind. And the treatment plan for mania is having a plan, which I do get into in a future lesson here, having a plan. Having a plan and maintaining your plan are key so that when incidents of mania come up and hospitalization is in order, you have everything ready because you're not able to think. So you have a treatment plan for maintaining balance, and you also have a treatment plan for avoiding manic episodes, which are, but not just limited to going to therapy, taking your meds as directed, reporting to your doctor any changes or, you know, side effects that come up out of your medication or your routine. A well-ordered daily routine, which includes a wake sleep cycle, which I get into sleep further on here in another lesson too. And sleep is imperative to staying mania free. So this is the basic rundown on mania really quickly. When you're bipolar and you're coming out of a depression, mania can sometimes really be a nice, like an oasis in the storm. However, mania, when you are on the far end of it and you are delusional and not thinking right and you are not making good judgment and you are impulsive, that is the negative side of mania, and it is extremely dangerous. So this is What is Mania on Thriving with Bipolar course on Listenable. Lesson 3, what is depression? Well, in layman's terms, depression is a constant feeling of sadness and loss of interest, which stops you doing your normal life activities. Depression is an illness. And researchers are starting to find that maybe it is a systemic illness, which means that it affects both the body and the mind. Now, anybody that has had depression could tell you that it is absolutely systemic. But it is a real illness. and it should be treated as such. Now, here are a couple of the forms of it and some of the symptoms of depression, but depression can take many forms and everybody's symptoms are different. So again, when you are being diagnosed or not being diagnosed with your bipolar disorder, your doctor will take into account everything that you tell them. So be honest on your intake. So we have major depression, which was also known as unipolar depression, which are sadness, feelings of emptiness, loss of enjoyment of hobbies, work, or other activities that you once did get enjoyment out of, appetite changes, weight loss, weight gain, trouble sleeping, too much or too little, feeling slowed down or being excessively agitated, tiredness, fatigue, lack of energy. There are physical symptoms also with pain. I suffered from headaches, stomach issues, and all kinds of stuff like that. Depression is a feeling of worthlessness and guilt. Problems with concentration or focus, inability to make decisions or poor decision making, thinking about death and dying, planning or attempting suicide. If you're planning, or if you know somebody planning or thinking of planning or even talking about suicide, please have a contingency plan already ready in action. Do not let this person successfully commit the act of suicide. So this depression is likely caused by several factors, which include genetics. Most of us also know this. A major theory is that certain genetic changes make mood-regulating chemical in the brain, also known as neurotransmitters, ineffective or scarce throughout the lifetime of your family genetics. So if your great-grandmother had depression, you are likely going to have depression, and you're actually going to be not able to tolerate it as well as she did through the ways that the genetics are affecting the neurotransmitter in your brain that you have less than she probably did back in the day. So genetics, family history, same thing to me. Environmental triggers, which could be, a simple change of schedule, COVID, stuff like that. A traumatic event or a major life change, a death or a baby, either way. Finances, being ill or injured, say, a sudden cancer diagnosis or a car wreck or, an injury that puts you out of work, say a broken arm or something like that. Being a caregiver, we always don't think enough about the caregiver, but yeah, the caregiver is definitely isolated, above their head and worries, not only their life, but the person that they're taking care of. Yes. Ask your caregiver how they're doing. Certain medications can aid to depression. Also a history of, or actively still using or misusing illegal drugs, legal drugs, and or alcohol can definitely affect depression. Alcohol is huge. Alcohol is a depressant. So adding alcohol onto depression is like putting fire on gasoline. And then hormones, such as with like postpartum depression and PMDD and seasonal changes, SAD, seasonal affective disorder. But the SAD that comes with bipolar depression, again, is a much more amped up version of it. And treatment for depression include, medications, therapy, and lifestyle changes, which again include a good wake-sleep cycle, nutrition, and exercise, which I will be getting into in the next lessons. This is What is Depression on Thriving with Bipolar on Listenable. Lesson 4. I think I have bipolar. What do I do? Okay, first of all, breathe. Okay? You have not just received a death sentence, and you can get through this as millions ahead of you have done so. So here's a couple steps to make this a little easier for you and a little less freaked out. First of all, you need a diagnosis. You cannot self-diagnose yourself, and somebody cannot just tell you that they think you have bipolar, therefore making it true. You need a medical diagnosis. So generally the way that this works in the States, especially if you do this the right way, is you go to see your primary care doctor and they will refer you to a behavioral health team, a psychiatrist, a psychiatric nurse, a certified therapist, a registered something or other. But with the way insurance works in the States, that is the way that you need to go about getting yourself into the system. So the bad way to go about it is to fake a suicide or fake being suicidal and go to the hospital, and then you're still going to go inpatient, and it's the same thing after that. You're just in a behavioral health environment before you need to be to just get a diagnosis. So go about it the right way. It's a lot less painful, and it's a lot less shocking than, you know, thinking you have bipolar and winding up inside a psych hospital, not knowing what to expect, and being medicated off the bat, having come in never being medicated on psych meds. And do it the right way, okay? Yeah, you know, or try to anyway. I mean, like, if you're having a meltdown and you got to go inpatient through the ambulance, then do what you got to do. But get a diagnosis, see your doctor, have your doctor refer you, and go through it that way. Whether you do or you don't have it, educate yourself on what it really means to have a mental health diagnosis, be it bipolar or borderline personality or ADHD or a form of autism or MDD or anything like that. Educate yourself about it so that you can actually speak on it in an informed and non-biased way. It's also called integrity. Learn about your illness if you do have it. Learn the pros and the cons and work it to your advantage. And lastly, but most importantly, don't give up. Okay, having bipolar is not a death sentence. You still can live a vital life. You can thrive with bipolar. You just have to get through the first shock of realizing that you may be more awesome than anybody else on the world because you have bipolar. So that's all I got to say about that. If you think you have it, get a diagnosis, educate yourself on it, and be ready to show the world what the face of somebody with a mental health diagnosis is, and be proud. Lesson 5, medication. So the chances are very good that you will be prescribed medication to help maintain good stability. You may not like it, but medication is an essential component in keeping in balance and staying well with bipolar. The best medicine is the one or combination of medications that work for you. This is not a one-size-fits-all situation. Taking meds is personal and oftentimes frustrating journey of trial and error. Finding the correct treatment for your specific symptoms can sometimes seem like a quest that you are never going to find an answer to. Tell your doctor everything that you like and dislike about your medicines, any side effects or life disruptions it may be causing for you. You must be honest with your doctor about your lifestyle. Certain foods, supplements, legal and illegal drugs, or alcohol may directly interact with your medication. Let your doctor help you get well by being honest with him or her about your lifestyle choices. They're there to help you for the most part, okay? If you can't trust your doctor, you need to find another doctor. You need to be honest with them about everything that you are up to. Exercise, food, drugs, activity. That is the only way that they can help you is by knowing what you are doing, okay? I'm serious about this. Like, if you're going to be honest with anybody, your doctor is the one person that you should be straight up with. They're here to help you save your own life. All right. So with that being said, let's just give a little rundown on some of the most common categories of medication. And I might throw a couple of the brand names in, but they change all the time. There are different formularies, there's different, you know, ways that they dose and stuff like that. So except for the most common names of ones that, you know, people might know, I'm just going to leave the names out. If you want to know more about your meds, look it up online, talk to your doctor. Your meds come with a pamphlet. Ask your doctor for a copy of that if you don't receive that from your pharmacy when you get your prescripts. You should have the information about your medication. Read it and take advisement of stuff that you may or may be considering doing, such as having a baby, that could affect your meds. Be honest with your doctor. All right, so here are the most common categories of medications being used to treat bipolar disorder. And they would be anticonvulsants, antipsychotics, and SSRIs. So mood stabilizers are anticonvulsants. So this is your Tegretol, Depakote, Lamictal, Lithium, Depakine. See where I mean? It goes into different breakdowns. This is used to treat full episodes of mania or depression that last for several days or weeks at a time. Okay, this is like when you are chronic and they need to try to pop you up. This is when you're going to get a mood stabilizer or anticonvulsant. Antipsychotics or neuroleptics are a class of meds used to manage psychosis. These would include Haldol, Risperidone, Abilify, Safras, Zyprexa, Seroquel, and Geodon. And then we have our SSRIs, our selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, which are a class of drugs which are typically used as antidepressants in treatment of MDD, anxiety disorders, and depression. So they're kind of like a mix and match type thing, but you don't want to be mixing and matching your own drugs, okay? Let your doctor prescribe. There are definite side effects with some of these that you will be made well aware of before you choose to take the medication. However, sometimes taking the risk to see if you get the side effect that, you know, less than 0.00001% of people get, it's up to you. Medication is a personal choice. Okay, so some of the cons of medication are some of the most common side effects with these three classes of medication are, and not in any particular order, okay, stiffness and shakiness, uncomfortable restlessness, akasia, restless leg is a real thing, movement of the jaw, the lips, and the tongue, tardive dyskinesia, there are sexual issues, sleepiness and slowness, weight gain, high risk of diabetes, constipation, diarrhea, agitation, hallucinations, and nausea, which are just to name, you know, the top 20 of the playlist. There are, of course, other side effects, and you may experience your own side effects. Again, be honest with your doctor. Now, the pros of those cons are mood stabilization, reducement of future symptoms, balance. Your energy level will be balanced. You will have improved attention. You will have behavior that is not extreme, and you will actually reclaim your life as you knew it. It's worth it. And again, as with anything that has to do with this, you know, try to stay on your schedule. Take your meds as prescribed. Do not stop taking your meds cold turkey. If you dislike your meds, please, please, please tell your doctor before you stop taking your meds. Some of these can cause you to go into suicidal ideations, manic rages, psychoses, and all kinds of stuff if you go off these cold turkey. Always consult your doctor before you stop taking any medications. And that concludes lesson 5, Thriving with Bipolar, Medication.